amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away.
Hey, if I could, real quick, I want to read to you just a scripture that I read last Sunday morning, and it made such a difference for me and in that service. And I'm just going to share it. Maybe it'll have the same effect for you. Sunday morning, I read this scripture. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I decided then, I will not sing and not think about what I'm singing. I will not waste any time in church not worshiping. And I had a real good time Sunday morning sitting back there in the back. And I want to share that with you. You can take that opportunity and you'll have a different service tonight, I promise you. You may already be doing that, but I was guilty of not doing that all the time. So it made a difference for me. So if you haven't tried it, give it a try. I'm amazed.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. I found pardon, and my sins, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away.
Let's sing that chorus again.
How alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. And the love you shared on a hill called Calvary, there you died and you purchased my salvation. When you broke sin's power and you set my spirit free,
I'm amazed.
For that tonight. We'll go ahead and take our prayer request at this time, and if Brother Terry, if you don't mind to come and pray over these. Please pray for my grandson Aaron. He needs prayer for his soul most of all and having other problems. Thank you. That's from Sister Linda Kennedy. Also pray for my niece Missy Cress. She has a brain tumor. Please pray for Ruth Jack's daughter, Elizabeth, that she'll pass her exam to be accepted in graduate level studies. And also an unspoken request for Sister Ruth Jack. This is from Brother Keith Strader. My friend Henry Dunbar passed away 6 a.m. yesterday morning. Please pray for his family. So let's remember that. This is from Sister Martha Ann. She said, my brother asked me if I would request prayer for a good friend, a minister, who had an amnesiac stroke. From Sister Martha Ann. So let's remember that. And then the gentleman at the hospital just before I left, his daughter asked that we remember her dad in prayer there, real sick this evening, Mr. Arbogast. So if y'all will, please remember him. Let's stand tonight, if you will, as Brother Terry comes and takes these needs to the Lord.
God bless you. It's certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord again tonight. Just a wonderful privilege. Let's bow our heads as we pray. And would you join me in prayer and join your faith with me as I just, we speak to the Lord. I lead in prayer. You pray also. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, first of all, we want to invite your presence. We want you to take the uppermost seat. Lord, we want you to be the focus of our life. We don't want to have a protracted meeting. I really just so enjoyed what Brother Joel said, reading that scripture, how it affected his life. And we realize the enemy tries to do everything he can to capture our attention and to divert our focus, even in the house of God. I know it's harder when you sit back in the back. It's a little easier sitting up on the front to keep our focus and undivided attention on the worship and the coming forth of the word. But Lord, it's a struggle. It's the enemy's purpose, and it's his job to try to distract the people, even in church. And it's a battle. So we have to work at it. But we're not going to be defeated. We're going to be overcome. Thank you for that testimony. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that will affect every one of us, that we can give 100% in the service tonight, regardless of what we have planned for Monday or what we did today or yesterday. May we divorce all of those thoughts. This could be the last service. And how would we act if we knew that there would be no waking up tomorrow? This would be the last service. This would be the last time that we'd have opportunity to praise the Lord and speak of Him and learn of Him and talk about Him and worship Him. How would we act if we knew this would be the last service? It could be. It could be for all of us. It could be for one or two. But Lord, we want to treat it as if this were our last service. We ask, Lord, that you would have your will in the service tonight. We have heard the requests read. And Lord, there are some that's from away. There's some that are local. There's some that's more serious. There's some that are not so serious. But each one, Lord, means a lot to you. Lord, the main thing is, can we appropriate that faith and believe, Lord, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. I'm thankful, Lord, that we believe there is faith in the house, and I believe somebody is going to receive a testimony, a healing, so that they can give testimony of these requests that's been given in. And may you grant each one, and may you anoint the speaker tonight, Lord. May it be a spiritual food in due season. Lord, may it be what we would have need of tonight. May you custom fit the service as we pull on the gift of God. Brother Donnie or whoever's speaking certainly has things that you've laid upon his heart and perhaps a direction to go. But Lord, if we have a real specific need, I know that you can lead him to go that direction and just answer a question. I've had many questions answered that were not directly on the subject, right straight from the pulpit. How we thank you for these wonderful things, Lord. Bless your children tonight, all that's done and said. Let it be a wonderful time of fellowship around the word. And when we say, when we leave the building, may we say, it's been good to be in the house of God. It was a joy to be in the house of God. It's our pleasure and our joy and our passion to come to the house of the Lord, because after all, you're the one, Christ the Word, that we're married to. You're the bridegroom. You're our passion. You're our life. You're our love. Our whole week is focused on one thing. We look forward to coming to church. What do we have in this life outside of the spiritual things? The world is gone. The nation's gone. Politics is gone. The economy's gone. Jobs are gone. Everything's gone. What do we have left? But Lord, if all that was going good, we still would want to put you above all these things. Grant it, Lord, tonight we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. We worship you. Come present. Meet our needs, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight. Well, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, walking up the King's highway. Help me sing it. It's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Well, I don't have to worry, don't have to hurry, walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, angels to guide me, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Walking up the King's highway.
Sing a third verse.
If you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway.
Like to come, if you'd like to come and lift the offering, let's sing. Let's try that Be Multiplied again. It's an F. We'd like to welcome some friends tonight from Indiana. It's Brother Daniel and his wife Ashley Cooley, and his mother's with them, Sister Vera Cooley. So nice to have you guys. Appreciate you being in service. All right, we worked on this song one time, so we're ready now. Got the first time out of the way, so help me sing this. It's great words to this song. Help me sing it. Oh, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky. Help me sing it. These hallelujah be multiplied. Let's sing it now. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this song try it again. Oh, God of mercy. last time. Oh, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your desire. May this offering stretch across the sky. Sister Anna Lynch, I think, has a song for us. She come to get ready to sing. Let's sing this anytime, anyplace, anywhere together she comes.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, anyplace, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm, time, anyplace, anywhere. In the storm.
Speechless by your beauty, Lord, I'm blown away with everything that's in my heart. A million words could never say all there is. You're more than just a song. You're more than just a whim. You're more than just a passing fantasy. And you're my everyday. You're my every way. You're my everything. See forever. In just one moment, I would say these todays are worth tomorrow. When I will see you face to face. You're
appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand, if you will. Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word. Let's just sing this together as he comes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus and his wonderful faith and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light.
Everybody sing it together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. How they gonna look? Look full in his wonderful face. And the yes, Lord, grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, and see how we look into the face of Jesus. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, speaking of the children of Israel. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, and we know that the 144,000 will, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now listen what that liberty will do if we really have it. It won't just make us shout and run and jump and all of that. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty to behold his face.
Yes, that's right.
Not just to heal and deliver and make you feel good and all of that. But this is the following verse. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And this is what it does. Are changed into the same image.
Amen.
From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Now, Father, we've read your word. We believe that it is the truth. Now it'll take you, Lord God, to be able to anoint a gift, a part of yourself that you've put in a lump of clay, to be able to make this real to us, Father. Now I've studied, I've prayed, I've looked extensively at these scriptures and quotes and meanings of the words and all of that to try to understand it myself, for I know that a preacher cannot be a true messenger until first he sees something himself and then be able to convey that to his people. So I've tried my best, Lord, but I realize at my best, it is such a frail thing to try to present in the hands of Almighty God. So when it's all said and done, we come and present ourselves again and once again ask that you will perform a miracle before our eyes. That you would take human instrumentality through the foolishness of preaching. And that you would also perform a miracle in the hearts of these people. That you would transform their ability to hear. And may they not hear a man full of mistakes and faults and failures, but may they somehow hear the living God speak to them. Lord, we know if this is accomplished, it'll truly be you. And we believe it will be, for we believe this is why we come to church. We've not come tonight to see one another's clothes. We've not come just because it's a place to go on Saturday night. But we have come in your house, and we expect to see and hear from you. And we don't believe we're going to leave you disappointed. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight from glory to glory.
Amen.
From glory to glory. Now, I want to rehearse just a little bit, if you don't mind, on the verse that was looking at last weekend, which is verse 18, so that we can get a little bit clearer view of more that we'd like to see tonight by the help of the Lord. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. And the word beholding is to show in a mirror, to make, to reflect to mirror, not just to look on a mirror, but to mirror, to look at oneself in a mirror, to behold oneself in a mirror. And I found this translation today, and I thought it was so exuberant in the way that this is writes it here in 2 Corinthians 3:18 again. In the Weymouth translation, he says, "We mirror the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces. We, looking as in a mirror, catch the light and reflect the glory of the Lord." So it is not just that we are just looking in the mirror itself, but as I used the example on Sunday, that if the light comes and hits the mirror, then shines on your face, then you become then a further reflection of that same mirror. Now, let me read this to you again. He says, "We mirror the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces. We, looking as in a mirror, catch the light and reflect the glory of the Lord." So truly, it is a spiritual reflection of what God wants for it to be. Now, instead of the countenance then being veiled to a real child of God, God turns them right around and they become a mirror, which is a further extension of that same glory. And it is a process. It takes a spiritual character to be able to catch this divine reflection of God. Now, millions and millions of people can look to a crucified lamb hanging on a cross. They can look to a risen Son of God coming out of the tomb. They can look to a church that was established 2,000 years ago. But that is historical. But to be able to see a living Christ, it takes more than a historical perspective or a historical view to be able to do it. There's no way we'll be able to catch the reality of a living being without first looking and identifying ourselves with His living Word for this day. So then, is that the Ten Commandments? Is it thou shalt not, thou shalt not? What is the living word for this hour? We'll never be able to identify the glory of God till we find that. Now, it is a process, it takes a spiritual nature to be able to catch the divine reflection of God and further extend that reflection without weakening the reflection. That's a miracle to me, how that God is able to shine His light on us and somehow mirror us in such a way. You would think the humanity, the imperfections, the weaknesses, the frailties, all of that would somehow break down the glory. And the glory would no longer be glorious, but that's not the way it is. God is so designed that our lives through an unveiled face would catch as the mirror, and the mirror of your life simply reflects that gospel back out. All the humanity doesn't change one thing. All the reflections that God has on the earth today, all the weaknesses in those human beings, it changes nothing at all because of the miraculous ability that God builds in a child of God. Thank the Lord Jesus. Now, a spiritual divine nature alone is capable then of attracting that reflected glory and bending that light, which is what a mirror or light or a prism will do. It will actually bend that light and cause that light to come right back out again. Now, for those of you that take a prism and you put it down and you hang, set a light over it and you see it, it'll bend the light because it comes inside them. A mirror will do exactly the same way. A mirror will actually bend the light. So it hits the mirror, it bends it, and it comes right back out. That's exactly what God wants our lives to be. He don't need our opinion. He's not really looking for our interpretation, our great big hyperfluting ideas. All God wants is our lives to be simple mirrors in His hands. And from that, He will miraculously bend the light of that age and come right back out. And if there's anybody around you that's hungering and thirsting for light, they'll be able to see that bent light through a reflection of the gospel in you. But you see, the mirror, even looking at a mirror, if we do not look at it in the right angle. Now look at it like this, that if we would have a mirror before us and it says a restricted or limited view, we'll say the mirror is this size. And you want to really see yourself. If you stand on the other side of that mirror, say the mirror is here and you're over here, and the mirror is shining straight on, you could be so close yet so far away. And the real way of being able to see that image is to look at it straightforward. So your life, your person, must line up with the way the mirror is shining. Now, in the days of Luther, they had to walk before the mirror of that day in order to catch the reflection or the bent light of God, and they was able to see what God was doing. You follow me? Now, if you take a mirror and hold it like this, but yet you bend it as I did here Sunday, and I bend it many, many times, and I shine that light on your face and your face. Those that had glasses on, they really took it because I could see their head bouncing back. But you know what? Even though I was closer to it than you were, I had the mirror turned away from me and turned towards you. Now, we can be so close to what God is doing, yet so far away because we're not looking straight on to be able to see the true reflection. Friend, I don't want to just be around this. I want to be right in the middle of it. Amen. I don't want to just be where God is doing. Wouldn't it be awful to be around where God is doing such wonderful things, but yet it's not happening to you personally because you're constantly looking at this and that and the other and focusing over here in your job and your business and so on. I want to take this mirror. I want to look straight on to what God has for me in this hour. Now, in many positions, in a way that a mirror would be able to hold, I could hold it and bend it just a slight degree away from my face. It might pick up this pulpit, my Bible, this thing of Gatorade. It might pick up you, pick up that tree, depending on which way I would bend the mirror. So in order for me to catch a real true glimpse of myself and look at me and find my faults and my shortcomings, I must look straight away into the mirror and see who and what I am. And then on the other hand, in order to catch the spiritual illumination of what God wants me to see who I am spiritually, I must peer straight into the mirror with an unveiled face and let the Lord Jesus permeate my being in such a way that I can see not only you. I don't just want to see you. I don't want to just see Brother Branham. I don't want to just see the preachers in the message, but I want to look straight into the mirror and walk away and know who I am as a son of God. I want to be like the little boy that walked into the end of the door there and he saw the mirror. The prophet said the first time he'd ever saw one. And he looked in the mirror and saw the little boy. You remember the story? And he waved his hand at the little boy and the little boy waved back and all that. And he said, look, Mama, it's me. Well, I don't want to say, well, look, Mama, it's Brother Tim. Look, Mama, it's Brother Terry. I want to say, look, Daddy, it's me. I want to see myself. But the only way I can do it is not point it towards you and point toward this and that and the other. But let me be able to look at myself. Oh, hallelujah. Now watch this, and again in 2 Corinthians, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now look at this word changed. It is metamorpho, which is transfigure, transform, to change to another form. To transform, to transfigure. That's the exact same thing that happened to the Lord Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. Now hang on, have you had yours yet? You say, my what? Mount Transfiguration. Now Jesus had it in his body, have you had yours on your soul? Now, it's the exact same thing spiritually. Christ's appearance was changed and was resplendent with divine brightness on the Mount of Transfiguration. So actually, the Mount, which was previously called something else prior to this, and was still called by that same name by the historians, but Jesus' experience on the Mount has forever in the age of Christendom changed that Mount to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. So his experience on the Mount gave the Mount a new name. Glory. My experience with the new birth gave me a new name. My hallelujah. What God done for me, what God done in this old pile of dirt right here gave me a new name. Now I'm called a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm called a new creation by the power of God. Why? My experience with God renamed my body. I no longer belong to the devil. I am not just an American. I am not just a human being. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. Now, through the power of assimilation, Satan has learned a long, long time ago that whatever you put before human beings because they have the power to assimilate the imagery that they constantly are looking at, he's learned that he can be able to affect people, oh my, and in such a phenomenal way. Now, God, of course, also knows the same thing. And God used it in the right way, but if Satan, of course, since he is evil and low down and sorry and good for nothing, fit for nothing but to be burned up in hell, I just thought I'd throw that in a little bit to burn his hide. And because he is that kind of a fella, he'll try to get you and I around people or around things which will begin to alter what God wants us to be in his image. Now, if the light of God shines from the face of Jesus and it becomes in us to where it unveils our face and then it reflects, the light is bent and shines right back out to others. By contemplating the image of Christ Jesus, we actually become transformed. So as we behold the image of the glory of God in the Word, while we're looking and looking and peering into the image, we are actually being changed ourselves from glory to glory. You see, the whole thing is change. He himself changed himself from being God to become a man. That was the initiation of the great change, which is where we're at right now. That he changed himself from being God to become a man. And he wanted to come down here and change himself so he could change you. I'm glad. So he changed you in your soul. Ultimately, he's going to change your body. Then he's going to change the earth. Then he's going to change the universe. And he's going to, what is the whole thing? Changing it right back to what it was at the beginning. Now, by contemplating his face, the glory of God shines on us if we have an unveiled face. By that I mean we truly see the revelation of what God is doing. And we not only have the Word, but we have the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the Word. You see, a lot of folks have a Bible. A lot of folks have the message of the hour. But they debate, they fuss, they argue. They think it's about this and that and the other. They lack the mind of Christ. But the true bride not only has the Word, but she has the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the Word. He don't want it just printed. He don't want it just duplicated and sent around the world. He wants the Word to become human flesh. That's what he wants done with the Word. And the Word lived out of our lives. Not us, oh, I've got to go to church. I've got to make myself do that. That's not the Word living. You're not a living epistle. But it's when you surrender and get out of the way. And you, by the Spirit of God inside of you, make your body obey that Word. I realize everybody can't do that, so I ain't really preaching to everybody then, am I? I'm preaching to those who are born again or can be born again. Now, watch in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, which is predetermine their destiny. Amen. This is why I believe in predestination, because it's in the Bible. It was in the Bible before Brother Branham was ever born. Don't blame Brother Brandon for predestination. Blame God. He's the one who issued the edict from eternity. to predestinate. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now this is what we're predestinated to. If a person says they are predestinated and they do not follow in the line or the channel of a predestinated life, there's something wrong somewhere. We are not predestinated to be ungodly. We're not predestinated to be worldly. We are not predestinated to be like the world. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And if you are predestinated, this is what you are predestinated to become. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Look at this word, sumorphos. Fashioned like unto, having the same form as another. So you mean I'm supposed to have the same form as the image of his Son. So would that mean I got to weigh the same? I'm already taller physically than what Brother Branham saw Jesus was. I'm 6 foot and Jesus wasn't 6 foot. He weighed about 130. I'm 170. His hair was probably longer than mine. He didn't wear a tie and a suit. He wore sandals, which I don't like. So if I'm supposed to be conformed to the image of his Son, does that mean I've got to start looking like a Bible character of 2,000 years ago? If I've got to be conformed to be predestined, I want to conform, don't you? I want to conform, so what do I got to do to be conformed? This is what I'm predestinated to be. Oh, glory. So it's having the same form as another, similar, conform. Describes what is the essence in character and thus complete or durable, not merely a form or an outline. So then this is the predestinated position that the sons and daughters of God are supposed to be. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. So that is after the pattern or the model or the fashion that God made. Oh, hallelujah. So what would all that curtail? What would all that involve? Not his hair, of course, and not wearing a long robe and wearing sandals. Boy, we'd be for cold in the morning. It's cold as it's going to get tonight, wouldn't we? Coming to church in the morning with sandals, our toes are froze off. So we don't have to go around and walking on water like Jesus did. What is the image God wants me to be like? His nature, his character. Oh, hallelujah. His affection, his love. Hold on. And his sufferings. His sufferings was not for his evil. His sufferings was not because of wrong that he done. His sufferings was for the word of God. Many of us suffer because of our long tongue. You're not getting benefit out of that unless you just learn to cut it off more. Well, I'm suffering persecution. I'm suffering persecution. A lot of it's because of our stupidity. That's exactly right. Now watch. So if we are to be conformed, then it is the spiritual image which must be restored back into the sons and daughters of God. So to be made like our Lord Jesus, to be conformed to the image, would be conformed to the image of his affection, his love, his obedience, his desire. Oh, you said, well, my, he was a son. That's exactly right. He was a son, but he succumbed or humbled himself to the feelings of human beings so that we would be able to be conformed back to that very image he was. Notice this, Paul goes on to say, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Notice this, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God loved the image that was projected so much in the Lord Jesus, he wanted a whole world full of sons just like that one. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is the beginning of the new race. He is the head of the new world order. Hallelujah, I believe in a new world order. It's not the Germans, it's not the Romans, it's the children of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch, in Romans chapter 12, Paul uses this word again. Chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Now he says we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus. But here he says, be not conformed to this world. Now this verse, we want to look at two key words here. The word world and the word conform again. Now most of the time, or a lot of places in the New Testament, when you see the English word world, the Greek word will be cosmos. But not so here. That's why you have to be careful with English words. Be not conformed to this world. That is not cosmos. But it is actually aeon, which means present age. That's why this scripture could apply in the days of Paul, in the days of Irenaeus, in the days of Luther, in the days of Wesley, and on down to where we are. Because every present age would have this armor to be able to fight the battles that was going to be around them. So Paul said, don't be conformed to your present age. Luther could read that and preach the same thing to his people. Wesley could have read it, preached the same to them. I can read it and preach to you. Now, it's amazing then that there are two great powers that are trying to get us to conform. There are two great heads that want to bring us into a state to where we conform to a certain image, fashion, or shape. Oh, glory. So, don't conform. I like this. Don't let the age in which you live force you into its scheme of thinking and behaving. Praise the Lord. So here again, the word conform is to put on a form or a fashion or the appearance of another. Now it can be habit. It can be dress. It can be manner of speaking or talking or the way they live. And it the word here, age, aeon, is the age. So do not conform to the age that you are living in. So if people look at us and say we're old fashioned, we ought to shout, glory! Hallelujah. Oh, they preach the old-fashioned way. Glory! That means we've not conformed. Now watch. The Jerusalem Bible says it this way. Do not model yourselves on the behavior of the world around you. Do not model yourself. Now you understand, friends, that in the age we're living, it seems like especially in the last few years, that Satan is trying his best to get church people and preachers, even those that don't even understand the message that they are, and it is a constant onslaught to bring them to a political correctness, to where you no longer say things that's not politically correct. Because Satan controls the government. He's in the White House, right? He's in Congress, he's in Senate, he's in Germany, he's all over the world, he controls the governments of the world. So by pressure, he wants to get the people to conform, they may not necessarily believe it now, but put political pressure on them and they will conform what they really believe in their heart, but they can't say nothing about it because they get in trouble if they do. So then what do? They'll hold their peace. And then this is the way the mark of the beast will come. It comes by spiritual imagery. So by not calling out and blasting this and blasting that spiritually, they take conformity, which will develop right into the mark of the beast. What's this? The Living Bible says it this way. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. The paraphrased Bible of J.K. Phillips, J.B. Phillips says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Oh my. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. So don't you see what the pressure of the age is? The outside pressure of the age is to press you and I into the mold of the world. To where we act like them, we talk like them, we preach like them, our music is what they want it to be, our preaching is what they want it to be over my dead body. Huh. me conform to this bunch of bobhead Jezebel Laodiceans? No way. Christians should not conform to the prevailing habits of the age. Come on now, don't get quiet. It's amazing how folks can take certain stands on certain things. So they got a son or daughter or nephew that gets caught up in a certain sin, and they will all together, you know, now they change their view on it. It shouldn't be no difference of view who it is. We should stay the same if we really believe it. Now, Christians are to be governed by God's laws. Christians, now you might be a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or whatever that is, that's up to you as far as your political stance and your political party. I'm not a politician. But when it comes to your soul in the Word of God, that ought to take first precedent over everything else. That ought to come above your mama, your daddy, your husband, your wife, your children, your job, your country, your politics, your nation. Well, thank you, Jesus. Now watch. Don't be conformed, he says, to this world. But be ye transformed. A Greek word which means a very radical change from one nature and life to another. Now some folks come from the world and they become Christians and they just switch brands of cigarettes. They used to smoke them old Camels without filters. Now they smoke a filtered one, so they got a Christian cigarette. They used to drink all kinds of booze, but now it's controlled. They just drink 5 a day. That's not a radical change. A radical change is you lied, you stole, you cheated, you done everything in the world, but you don't do none of that no more. It ain't that God just kind of picked you up and whitewashed you a little bit and made you some sort of church member and set you on a pew. It is such a radical change, you're not even in the same world as you were. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm talking about being changed from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This word, again, that Paul uses, transformed, is metamorpho, which is a tadpole being changed into a frog, or a grub being changed into a butterfly. Now, it ain't a frog that just changed to a high society frog. Instead of saying, knee-deep, he says an accent, knee-deep, knee-deep. Knee deep. It is a little bitty guy in water that was laid there by eggs by a frog, by his mama. And he goes to hatch it out in that water. I've got a couple of water gardens behind my house, so I do know a little bit about tadpoles. So they will come on out of their egg and then they'll start swimming around. Peculiar looking little fella, you know what I'm talking about. And you watch them, they get bigger and bigger and they keep on eating and eating. But before long, they enter into a stage to where they start projecting things from their bodies. Hallelujah. Call legs. Amen. Their head starts changing shape and their tail starts getting shorter and shorter and their body becomes more elongated. And I look out there and all of a sudden them tadpoles are gone, but frogs is hollering everywhere. That's the way you was out there in the world, swimming around in the muck and filth of the world. But through the power of God and the new birth, you begin to grow legs of justification and eyes of sanctification. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost brought you out of that water, took you from a being that lived in that water and gave you lungs and put you outside of that world and put you on the outside where you could jump around and enjoy life. Hallelujah. You want to know why I jump? I've been changed. I ain't a tadpole no more. I got jump in my legs, brother. I got jump in my legs. Now some of you folks, now when I speak this, I'm not just saying it's on our church only, of course. But some of you folks come from being a Baptist tadpole and you just become a message tadpole. Been no great changes in you. No radical changes to the good. Your temper went from that big to that big. Did y'all see that change? You used to lust after 75 women a day. Now you're down to 72. Praise the Lord. But I'm talking about a change that is so radical that you're a man that's eat up with lust. That if you pass by a fence post with a pair of tight breeches on or a skirt, you'll lust after that fence post. But once you get the Holy Ghost, you've got something inside of you that turns that head. That is a radical change. That is not normal. You know why? You ain't a tadpole no more. You ain't wiggling down in the muck and the filth of that water, but you're out on the ground. Hallelujah. You're out on the ground jumping around in the blessings of God's word. You have been radically changed. I'm not even going to try to preach on the butterfly. Because Brother Jewel has got that down so perfect. A white man can't preach it like he can. Not them jaws and that mouth the way he does it. So. Now what's this? This word metamorpho means, I love the meaning of this word. Because it means a total change from the inside out. Not the outside in. That's backwards. From the inside out. How does that little butterfly, when it climbs up in that stage, oh my, it's so beautiful. And he dies and my, he's totally transformed and becomes totally liquefied inside that cocoon. And he lays there and he lays there and he lays there. And he develops lungs and he develops a stomach. And he develops all this that he did not have before. You still did not have a stomach for the word. But now you got a big old stomach. You don't never get enough. You feed 3 times a week and that still ain't enough. Why, God changed you. God transformed you radically. So Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How, Paul? By the renewing of your mind. Your mind? You mean my mind has something to do with this? Y'all know what a transformer is, don't you? A power transformer? I don't want to just be transformed. I want to be a transformer. I don't want that just to be an adjective applied to my life. I want it to be a verb in action. That I have not only been transformed, I am an ongoing transformer. I'm helping others transform their lives. Now watch, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now there's several different Greek words that's used, mind, and the English word. Again, you have to be careful with the English. And whenever we see the English, we think it means the same thing, but in the Greek it does not. And this is the different one. It's nous, which comprising alike the faculties of perceiving and understanding, and those of feeling, judging, determining, the power of considering and judging soberly, calmly, and impartially. Now this is the way that the new birth starts working into the consummation of the attribute which is in the soul being born again. It starts with the renewing of the mind. You see, our mind must be faced with the reality of God. And when we're born in this age, we're born lost. We're born, of course, in the darkness of Laodicea. We don't know what right and wrong is. We don't know which is the right way. Is the Baptist church the right way? The Methodist, the Church of God, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, which way is the right way? And we don't know which way is the right way. So that's why some of you started out here and here. My Lord, some of y'all have been through the whole 7 church ages about it in your own life. You start out a Catholic, come up to a charismatic, you wind up, but thank God, look where you are now. But you know why? You was looking, you was searching, but your mind, your spiritual nuance of God, you did not know how to judge. You always knew there's something wrong here, and there's something wrong there. I don't know what I'm looking for, Lord. Am I weird? No, you're just a tadpole trying to become a frog. You ain't weird. Amen. It's that mortal food trying to take place in your life. So we've got to be renewed in our mind, which gives us the ability to discern. There's thousands of voices that say, this is the way, this is the truth, this is the life. And we say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. Oh, Lord, what do I do? All it takes is the right mind. Then the right mind looks at it through the revealing of the Word and judges it by that. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm scared I'll be deceived. Don't worry about it. You can't deceive the Word. Brother Ben said, that's why the elected cannot be deceived, because they are the Word. Amen. Oh, but I've been in error. A lot of difference in you being in error and staying in error. You might have been in error, but you're a son of God. You ain't going to stay there. You're going to come out. Amen. Now watch. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed from a tadpole to a frog, from a grub worm to a beautiful butterfly, by the renewing of your nous. The ability, the renewing. Ah. Renewing. Renewing. So it sounds like something that used to exist. And something happened to it. And then it needs to be not replaced, but renewed. Glory! It needed to be renewed. That identity was in you when you was born as a mortal. But you know what? You become older and older, and you started sinning and doing things that was wrong, and it drove that God consciousness nearly away from your heart. And what does it do? It renews your mind. Brings you back to that tenderness, and you as a 10-year-old boy or girl. That's something that dealt with your heart. You don't need another mind, but you need this one renewed, refreshed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now the world wants to control your mind. God wants to renew your mind. I wrote these things down today, and I want you to read them with me. Paste them on your fridge, mirrors, iPhones, droids. The world wants to control your mind, but God wants to transform your mind. The world wants to change your mind. So it exerts pressure from without. Politics, social media, the wrong people can bring pressure on us to change our minds about truth. We should be able to say amen to that, church. But the Holy Spirit changes your mind by releasing power from within. That gives you the ability, even in the darkest age that's ever been. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. It's so dark, I don't know which way to turn and which way to go. Well, I do. Amen. Brother Donnie, ain't you in total chaos? I'm not. Amen. Don't sit there and look at me like that. I have not lost my direction. I know which way I'm going. I know how to get there. Praise the Lord. I've had a word of God given to us in this age. And not only do I have a Bible, but we've had a prophet of God to go beyond the curtain of time and come back and say, it's there. And tell us what we've got to do to get there. Lay aside everything until we get perfect love. Oh, people's in such chaos. Speak for yourself. I am not in chaos. I am not confused. I am not tore up. I'm not looking for the way. He found me. I said, I'm not looking for the way. He found me. I didn't find the way. The way found me. Well, I don't know which way to go. Well, I feel sorry for you. What have you been coming to church for? Oh my, the religious world, the message world, oh, people's leaving, oh, it's an utter chaos. It is not an utter chaos. The world is changing your mind. Websites, Facebook, whatever more, it's changing your mind to your thinking. The message is collapsing all over the world. You're listening to a lie of the devil. This is how so many change their view of what is right and wrong. Now listen to this. For many, the view is in their head only, so change their mind, and you have changed them. Now listen. This is why folks are changing their view of the message. You know why? The message was up here, never down here. So somebody then changed their mind, and it, oh, I don't believe it no more. Brother, that's a false prophet. Donnie Reagan, that hypocrite and devil, blah, 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 go. You know why? Because somebody changed their mind. They are now conformed to the image of somebody else. Can you imagine trading Brother Branham for some of these people that's the leaders of this anti-message move? Can you imagine trading a man that God used to raise the dead, heal the sick, do supernatural that had never been done before in such a magnitude, and you're going to leave following a man like that to follow some short-wearing, beer-drinking, pot-bellied, lost, demonized character sitting in some website room somewhere? Not me, brother. My soul is sold out to this word. I'm going to follow what God proved, what God vindicated to be the truth. Them ain't black jaws, but they're pretty big for white jaws, aren't they? I love seeing them preach that, don't you? If the world controls your thinking, you are a conformer. If God controls your thinking, you are a transformer. Oh, my. You imagine we're living in a world that's hostile against God. Through politics, through politicians, trying to gain their way through our courts. It don't matter the difference what you vote is right and wrong. All it takes is some federal judge to sit up there and say, I think we need to do this and that, and your vote ain't worth that. It ain't worth three pieces of bubble gum. You might as well say the truth. Amen, you know it's the truth. Oh, we're living in a world to where it's constant darkness that it just keeps driving, penetrating and penetrating. But by the grace of God, our minds and our lives have been transformed. Glory. Now, let's look at a few scriptures, if you would, about the mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded. Now, listen, friends, how serious this is. To be carnally minded is death. So to go to church and stay in a carnal mind, to read the Bible with a carnal mind, to listen to the message with a carnal mind, to listen to a preacher preach with a carnal mind, to work in a carnal mind, live in a carnal mind, do you understand the end result of that carnal mind is going to destroy you? That's what the Bible says. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh my. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can't polish that old tadpole up and try to stick some legs on him and say, you stay down in the water. He's got to be changed. Notice this in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. I want you to notice now, then the flesh has desires and the mind also had evil desires. The desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, not by seed. I was by nature a son of the devil. I never was by seed. Well, thank you, Jesus. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that henceforth walk not other as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Now notice what death leads to, having your mind darkened to truth. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. Sure. Amen. Yeah. Friends, we're living in one of the most ignorant ages of the Bible that's ever been. In one sense of the word, it's worse now than it was in the Dark Ages. Then they didn't have no Bibles. They got more Bibles now than we've ever had, but we got blind teachers. And they're veiling the people with their Bible. Oh, you don't have to live that way. God don't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. That don't make no difference. They're caught up. They're old-fashioned down there. Why, that guy never did go to school. What kind of degree has Donnie Reagan got anyway? Well, I've got some degrees. Don't you go to blast my degrees. I got a B.A. Born again. I got one of them there HGF degrees. Holy Ghost filled. I got an FB degree. And they Facebook is fire baptized. I got a COG degree, called of God. I got a OOG, ordained of God. I got a POG, predestinated of God. Amen. I don't see how Bob Jones could beat that. Oh my. Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen to me, children. This don't happen just once. I believe as children of God, we need our minds renewed constantly. We need to live in the cycle of renewing in the presence of God. If you're thinking in your mind it happens one time and that's it, you're going to be an old cold moss-back Christian. Church won't excite you. The rapture won't excite you. The cross won't excite you. Come on. Because you're not renewing. You're under a constant bombardment of the world to control your mind. That's why they pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for seconds for advertisements in the football and baseball. Why? It don't take very long to project a little message with an imagery there, and it'll sell cigarettes or beer or whatever it is they're trying to sell. It is the power of persuasion upon the mind. Well, if an advertisement can do that, how can a man of God place an image before you as a son of God? I believe it'll have greater impact than a pack of cigarettes. If I can somehow get out of the way and put it before you, and you'll be able to see it just as clear as an advertisement on the Super Bowl, it'll bring more change to you than that will. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Philippians 2:2, I love these verses here. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. I don't care how much of the message we quote, until we learn how to do these simple scriptures right here, we'll never go very far in God. Preachers who esteem themselves better than other preachers will never go far in God. Churches who esteem themselves better than others will never go far in God. This is contrary to scripture. Notice again in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now that this is not a meddler now. This is not somebody meddling and trying to run folks' business, but if they hear somebody's got a need, or they hear somebody's going through something, they're so concerned about their brother or their sister, they concern themselves with their brother and sister's needs. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice again in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated, listen to the power of the mind, and enemies. Your mind was an enemy against God. One of the supposed to be most brilliant men of this age, last week, determined, Stephen Hawking, which supposed has so many keys to the universe and this and that and the other. Determined there was no God. I've been waiting for a long time to see where that man fit. But once he said that, I realized where he fit. Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It makes no difference how brilliant folks think he is. Aren't you glad you can believe there is? I guess some folks will leave God now that Stephen Hawking says there ain't one. Well, if he's the only reason you're serving him, you probably should. I don't care if Stephen Hawking says there ain't one, T.D. Jakes says there ain't one, Tim Pruitt says there ain't no God, Mike Price says there ain't no God. Doesn't come too late to tell me. I've done met him personally. Hallelujah. I done know him personally. You think it'd do any good for anybody to come and tell me there ain't no such a person as Carol Reagan? I'm going to laugh at him. I know better. I've spent most of my life with Carol Reagan. Let me tell you, I've spent most of my life with the Lord God of heaven. Come too late to tell me there ain't no God. Oh, it's in your mind. My mind ain't that powerful. My mind can't raise the dead. My mind can't perform miracles. My mind cannot do what this God does for me. And neither can your mind. Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now remember, they wore robes. They didn't wear breeches the way I do. So when they needed to run or fight or work hard, they'd reach down the men would, take the robe, put it up here in the middle part of this band that went around their waist, and they would gird it up tighter. Now Peter said, gird up the loins. The loins is a progenitive part of a man by which life comes from. Isn't it amazing that he would put the loins in the mind? Gird up the loins of your mind. From there comes your life. You can be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, but if you don't get your mind under control, you are a weak, powerless Christian. When I walked before Jesus that day, Lord, I made it. Here, Donnie, here's you a t-shirt. I survived Laodicea. I want to walk up there as a conqueror. I want to sheath my sword. I want to have trophies. Trophies that I want to lay at his feet. Hallelujah. I don't want to hold. I'm barely going to make it by the skin of the teeth. Not me. I made it by the skin that was on his body. I ain't making it by the skin of my teeth. I'm making it by his skin. Or if the righteous scarce will be saved. That's right. If the righteous scarce will be saved. But show me what the Bible says. If the elect scarce will be saved. Lot was a righteous man. And he barely made it. The elect do not barely make it. They have already made it. The elect are not scarcely saved. The elect are not barely saved. The elect aren't barely going to get there. They are the thoughts of God. They were in his thoughts before there was a world. They are not scarcely saved. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You need to clear your mind, friends, of such things. Oh, glory. I wish I was out in the woods by myself where I could act like I really feel like acting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Notice this. The mind has been programmed with natural established attitudes. I want you to read these with me. I put these down so I could share them with you. These are the beliefs, thoughts, ideas, opinions, convictions, prejudices that we have concerning ourselves and others, objects, activities, and God. Whether you or not you believe it, what I just read is a description of you and me. Or you say, but I'm born again. But you're still a human being. And when them human eyes get in the message with human understanding, you'll find that which you've already believed if you're not careful. Because we don't like to change. And if you were legal in Pentecost or legal here and there, everything I preach that's legal, you'll take it. Everything that you take as liberal, you'll trash it. Well, you're shouting a while ago, now you pout. I'm a pout shout preacher, ain't I? Now, let me share a little bit with you, and we're going to close here. When two German universities joined forces to investigate social networking, researchers discovered that in 1 in 3 people surveyed felt worse, lonely, frustrated, or angry after spending time on Facebook. Often due to perceived inadequacies when comparing themselves to friends. Research also shows that Facebook can cause depression. Somehow I just thought it would go this way when I read these things. A recently published American Academy of Pediatrics paper made a major splash when it described Facebook depression. Now, can you imagine now they've got to have new diagnosis for treating folks who are depressed because of Facebook? A condition said to result when tweens and teens spend too much time on social media, leading them to turn to substance abuse, unsafe sexual practices, or aggressive or self-destructive behaviors. Why? Learning to control their mind. Oh my. The more time adolescent girls spent on the social networking site, the more likely they were to develop eating disorders such as anorexia and bulimia and extreme dieting. Israeli researchers recently found exposure to online fashion and music content, as well as watching TV shows like Gossip Girl, were also associated with an increased risk of eating disorders. And folks feel sorry for us because we don't have TVs? Maybe they should feel sorry for their kids because they have them. This is not some private thing that I've done. All you have to do is Google this, negative effects on Facebook, and you'll find article after article after article after article after article after article. One research, one study after another, college, university. As a matter of fact, I found one psychiatrist that said he felt like that they should now start putting a thing up on Facebook like they do on packs of cigarettes and warning people that they can be affected psychologically and it can become addictive like cigarettes and drugs. Brother Donnie, are you saying I can't have Facebook? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you better have the Holy Ghost if you got Facebook. It come off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, just like the internet. We're using the means of the internet tonight to stream. People wherever are streaming this service. But you know what? Them same people have the same capability of streaming Happy Valley, or they can go to some filthy, dirty site, has all kinds of sex pictures and whatever more. You know what I'm talking about? Why? It come off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Only the tree of life. Every product off of it is perfect. But everything off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil has the capability of being good and evil. And depending on which one you are is what it will do to you. If you are good, you will take from the good side of the internet. If you are evil, you will feed from the evil side. Oh my. Facebook was referenced in 20% of divorce petitions processed in 2009. Now you know this is a few years old. By Divorce Online, a British law firm. Time magazine reported that feuding spouses use Facebook pages to air dirty laundry. Not only do the people like that, but church people also like to air their dirty laundry. While their lawyers use posts as evidence in divorce proceedings. Sexual health expert Ian Kerner, PhD, recently blogged on CNN that he's seen many relationships destroyed by Facebook bombs. Whoa. Facebook bombs, people reconnecting with high school sweethearts, or other blasts from the past that can lead to emotional, if not actual, cheating. So my advice to you is, enjoy your Facebook. Recent research has shown that using social networking sites, namely Facebook, can increase people's stress levels. Another good reason for me to not have it. I got enough stress the way it is. Every now and then I think in my mind, I'm going to do a search on the internet on my name. And then I come to myself and I think, no, I am not. If I searched all the sites that's out there on me right now, Lord Jesus, there ain't no way. You'd have to bury me. That would depress me so bad. I can't. Oh, but I'm stronger than you are. Are you? Or are you being deceived? Facebook can increase people's stress levels, produce anxiety, and negatively affect a person's sense of self. Using these sites might cause a person to develop a mental health disorder. Now I figured it out. Why some people say such stupid stuff on Facebook. They've gone crazy. It's caused mental disorders. Using these sites might even cause a person to develop a mental health disorder or expand an existing one. So I mean, if you're a little bit loopy, you better be careful on Facebook. Because you might really go, your life, I'm going to tell you one thing. This is destroying people in the message. I don't know how many that I have heard of in the last few years of men who've left their wives or women who've left their husbands because getting on Facebook, having affairs, and do all kinds of things. Even church people sitting around this message. Preachers now having to deal with it like never before because the people are becoming so entwined. They're becoming addicted. They used to read their Bible and read their message. Now they cannot stand to be on Facebook every hour. And some men's worse than women. Thank you, Jesus. Using these sites might even cause a person to develop a mental health disorder or expand an existing one. Social media even has the power to quickly spread moods around the world. Amen. Researchers found that when the participants increased their Facebook use, their state of well-being declined. While those who increased the amount of time they spent with people face-to-face had an increased sense of well-being. Now, I read last week that there's restaurants in the United States that's going to start offering free appetizers or desserts to people who will put down their smartphones when they're eating. And then we think we're not under control of someone. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Watch this, what these people out here say. It's addictive. Like anything that can distract us from stress, anxiety, and emotional pain, Facebook can be hard to stop using, even as, ironically, it can then cause more stress. So when you start using it, you get stressed. And then when you start trying to stop using it, you get more stress. I'm convinced I don't need it. The mind needs to be established in godly truths and principles. Look, friends, I tell you, and other ministers tell you, turn the other cheek, give a good word, be like Jesus, this, and somebody gets you on Facebook, and they'll go to say something about you, and if you're not careful, you'll leave every one of them principles behind, and you'll put something up, you little smarty, some of the stuff that I have read, I don't have it, but people will send me stuff, that some of the people from this church have put on Facebook makes me ashamed of you. I think, Lord, have mercy. Are they not listening to nothing? You mean we're going to lay aside our principles of character, turn the other cheek, pray for them that despitefully use you, and do all this and other, and then Facebook is an exemption for all of that? It is not. What is it? It's moving in, trying to control our minds to where it's what dictates how we react. This should dictate how we react. People say, oh, but Brother Donnie, every time I get on there, people's running me down. Then get off of it. My goodness, that ain't, don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Shut it down. That hand clap was pretty pitiful. Now, if he was clapping for me, it didn't even deserve that. But if he was clapping for him, we ought to make this building ring. That's right. Oh, my. Don't you see what's happening, friends? The world is changing. It is changing so fast, you look about it, it is scary. It is scary what's going on around us. They're changing. People are changing. Democracies are changing. Politics is changing. Facebook, when it first came out, the first 2 years after it came out, and they started doing surveys on people. Oh my, people loved it. It was such an anxiety reliever and a stress reliever, and people were making contacts. But Facebook changed. Brother Donnie, you don't believe in Facebook? I do. I believe in Facebook. I want to see my face in this book.
Amen. That's right.
If you've got Facebook and you can use it for the right thing and share testimonies and this and that and the other, that's well and good. If you can do that. But keep in mind, you're representing the Lord Jesus. You're representing this church. And you are representing me. Use your Holy Ghost as a filter, not your temper.
Don't use your smart mouth as a temper. Use your Holy Ghost and this Bible as a temper of what you put on there, because people are reading what you say. Well, Paul never had to preach on Facebook. They never had it. Brother Bram never had to preach on Facebook. I didn't have to preach on it years ago, but I do now because we got it. And if time goes on, who knows what they'll have. Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen.
But you know what, friends? Something wants to control our minds. And then it affects the way we feel and the way we think. And maybe you don't put no stupid stuff. But you sit on the other end of a pew of a person that comes to our church that puts stupid stuff. And then you look over at them every now and think, what planet are they from? I can't believe I read that this morning. They put on Facebook, Lord have mercy. And instead of hearing me preach, you're rereading their Facebook post. Preachers from other states have sent me Facebook posts of people from our church. My face turned as red as blood when I read it. Read them, I should say. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. You miss church on the weekend to go to Dollywood to get out from under stress and spend 3 hours on Facebook on Saturday night in your cabin to get out from under stress. Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. My mind's about to drive me crazy. My mind! Could be Facebook is attributing to your mental disorder.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, I guess we'll get some emails on this, won't we? But I think I'll preach again in the morning. I realize, friends, everybody that comes to this church ain't going to be saved. I hate to say it, but I got to be truthful. No doubt some of the folks who come to this church will be lost and go to hell. And I will have to personally stand against you at the day of judgment. Wednesday nights I'll witness against you. Saturday nights, Sunday mornings. And you will stand there without an excuse.
Amen.
What a terrible, terrible day that will be for both me and you. If you don't take this gospel and apply it to your life.
Amen.
When are we going to get serious with God and realize God is not a spare tire? That we get on fire when we're broke and we get on fire when we need this and that and the other. If there was ever an hour to stay in love with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's right now. Some of you are waiting for the rains of revival. I have been feasting off of that service Wednesday night. About them dews that fall from heaven. I've been guilty myself. I've asked the Lord, I don't know how many times since Wednesday night, Brother Tom, to forgive me for complaining about not having revival rains when He's been giving me dew after dew after dew and refreshing my corn and my wine and my grapes. I mean, He's doing right here with me. You understand what I'm saying? You're waiting for a revival. You're waiting for this. Friends, let's just eat our corn. Let's just be a good, godly Christian. Let's take the dew of the morning. Oh, my. Remember, I got to looking at it Thursday morning, I think it was, after I preached on Wednesday night. It was with the dew that the manna from heaven fell in the book of Exodus. It was with the dew that the quails began to come in from heaven. It was that, as David said in the book of Psalms, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's not the anointing oil that ran down Aaron's beard and went down to his skirt. He said it's not the dew from Hermon. It was the dew of this. And Jesus stand there at the door in the Song of Solomon. And He said, I'm standing here with the dew in my locks. Oh, hallelujah. There's your promised bride. It's dew every morning. You may go for a long spell from one big heavy rain to another, but He said, I'll give you the dew of heaven. It's not the dew of men. It's not the dew of Donnie Reagan or Happy Valley. It's the dew from the Almighty God. Amen. His blessings are new and fresh every morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together. A renewed mind is absolutely essential to being able to find the will of God for our lives. So be not conformed to this world. I love the way Paul starts it out in Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is only your reasonable service. And then, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he's speaking to priests already in the body. And their sacrifice is their body. So they're presenting their bodies to the Lord Jesus as a living sacrifice. And after their sacrifice, and he tells them, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Not past tense, but the renewing. What is it? Ongoing. Lord Chiller, if Paul would say that 2,000 years ago, what would Paul say today? With media, television, books, videos, all kinds of things that's constantly around us to impregnate our mind and pull our minds away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you Christians and I feel like you need a renewing in your mind? Oh, God. The stress of the age, the pressure of the age. Lord Chiller, when you feel like you're getting overwhelmed, many times it's not actually a getaway that you need. It's a getaway, all right, alone with the presence of God. Amen. Taking you a weekend trip somewhere can help you. It can. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. But I think many times we try a weekend getaway when that's not really what we need. We need to get away with God. Amen. We need to get alone with God and just pray and read our Bibles. Just have a little time alone with the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray through these simple thoughts and illustrations tonight, Lord, that you would help us. Dear God, I realize I need my mind renewed constantly in the age that we're living, Lord. Through the onslaught of hell, each one of us, these young people, old, no matter what age group they're in, no matter what they do, if they work in public work or they're retired, maybe they're retired out of the public work, but yet through their children and their grandchildren or friends and family. See, my people's under such stress. It's such an hour of stress and trouble. But Lord Jesus, we're so glad that we have a place we can run and let off the pressure. Oh, Father, help us to know that we have the ability every day of our life, actually several times a day if we need it, to have our minds renewed. I've learned, Lord, in the last 10 years or so of my life, that I must refocus. I must reevaluate and reprioritize things in my life. And I'm constantly doing it, Lord, shifting things around. Because I've noticed that Satan will try to move in on my priorities. I pray you'd help me, Lord, to see just as vitally important is that my mind be constantly renewed and the spirit of my mind be refreshed. I must say to you and ask you to forgive me, for I've waited for the renewing to be with maybe great heavy downpours of spiritual rain. Maybe a revival of this, a revival of that. And I've got up with daily dews all around my ground. And with the dew come the manna. And then maybe in a couple of weeks, with the dew came the quail. In a couple of weeks, the dew of Hermon came. And maybe a month or so after that, there was my Lord Jesus standing at the door with the dew in his locks. Hallelujah. And he knocked on my door. But I refused to let him in. I said, I've washed my feet and I'm in the bed. And he knocked and he knocked, waiting for me until the dew was dripping from the locks of his hair. But maybe I was listening for the sound of abundance of rain. Forgive me, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us to see as the earth in these parched, arid countries
can be renewed every morning as the dew, as we say, has fallen, but we know it's not actually fallen, but condensation because of the heat. Oh, Father, may we see when we face this world every day when we get up, we have the dew of the promise of Abraham's children. Our corn will be plenty. We will have wine, barley, like little Ruth had. Hallelujah. We'll not be hungry in the time of drought. We will not starve in the time when the world is famishing. We'll get our rain in due seasons. And the continency or the continuance of the dews will come day by day. Oh, Jesus, renew us tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, why don't you just stand there like a tree, as it were. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost go to blowing through your branches, your two arms, as they're raised up in the presence of God. And your leaves, which signify your fellowship, let the wind go to blowing through your leaves and blowing out all these things that you find in your mind so troubled about. Let the refreshing, the renewing take place in your mind. And maybe you walked in here tonight so confused about this or that, so many worries and so many troubles and so tore up. Let the presence of God teach you how to renew your own mind. Children, God don't want you and I to the spot, oh God, renew my mind, renew my mind. But this is a command for us. It's a divine, inward, God-given ability to the predestinated by the renewing of our mind. How am I supposed to do that, Brother Donnie? By reading the Word, by praying, by sitting under the ministry of God, call me in, playing tapes, having an atmosphere. It renews your mind. Hallelujah. If all you need to see one time in your life is an advertisement for a certain hot dog, then all they should have to do is pay for that advertisement one time and that's it. But you know what? They'll refresh your memory of a certain candy bar or a certain drink, a certain tea or whatever it is. What is it? A renewing to bring that back, that remembrance. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate preachers of the gospel that'll bring the word of God to renew our minds? Every now and then, children, we need to hear the renewing about why our sisters don't cut their hair, and a renewing why we don't paint up and act like the world. We need a renewing about who we are and where we're going and where we come from. Hallelujah. No wonder Peter said, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Hallelujah. Let's just worship now a little bit. We are trees tonight of the Lord. Here we are, and the Bible said the trees of the Lord are full of sap. So let us stand with our branches uplifted in the presence of God. Now, trees of life. We were born from our mother, the tree of death. But through the tree of life, Christ Jesus, we have been engrafted into Him and become married to Him. And now we are His female counterpart. So we stand in the great forest of God. Let the wind blow through. Don't you see that's what they was doing on the day of Pentecost? Them trees there together in the presence of God begin to move through their branches. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Let the cool breeze, that same one, that day when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was down in the furnace of fire. And the prophet said, you grabbed a hold of a thunderbolt or whatever it was and went down through there. And that cool breeze landed down there in that furnace. And it blowed the fire from around them, boys. Hallelujah. Lord, we're not in a furnace natural, as it were. But Lord Jesus, maybe the stress of our mind, the stress of our families, the stress of difficulty going on around us. May the breezes of the Holy Ghost come through this place tonight, Lord. Oh, may we have a renewing in our minds, Lord Jesus. Reevaluating of who we are, where we're going, what our life is all about. To reevaluate our priorities, Lord God. Help us to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed
by the renewing of our minds. My soul has been changed because my mind was renewed toward a new birth. The next major change will be my body. If I preach rapture, talk rapture, think rapture, eat rapture, my mind will lead and my body will walk into that change. I will break forth from the cocoon. Hallelujah. As that little shell hangs there and that little butterfly dies, as it were, and liquefies inside of that and totally changes from one being to another. Hallelujah. And starts busting out of that shell and unfolds his little wings. And he has to wait, and he pushes through that pressure, and he pushes them little antennas up on his head and pushes his eyes out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's climaxing in the change. One day, Lord God, this message that we love so much, the change will begin. The atoms will start changing inside of our bodies. Our bones, our muscles, our teeth, our hair, our eyes, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, will be changed, as it were, Lord God. Amen. We'll become, be like that little butterfly. We'll stand here on this earth for a moment of time, or however long it is, Lord God. Hallelujah. In a glorified body, about 18 to 20 looking years old, something like that. Oh, Jesus. I wish you could come tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. The prophet said, think of it, missing people. They can't see you no more. They can't find you. You're getting together with the rest of the group. And together you come up missing on the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, happy day, happy day. Lord Jesus, that's what we're waiting for, Father. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight. Would you lay your hand on that person standing by you, if you would? I want you to help me pray for them. Heavenly Father, as we stand here in this building, Lord, for those, dear God, that couldn't make it tonight, I know different ones sick, one streaming, Lord, they'd love to be here in this place, but because of circumstance, they cannot be. Lord, may that husband and wife sitting there streaming, that family, Lord, wherever they are, may you minister to them, your God, there just like you are here. Lord God, we lay our hands one upon the other and pray, Father, I ask for the strength of your children, for the courage, what they need in their lives. Some of them may be physical healing, some financial. Some, Lord, just the pressure of the age, the stress in their mind and their families. May the presence of God minister, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we believe that you're mindful of us and you've not left us, Lord, without the power that we need in this age. It would be unbecoming of you. It would be unlike you, Lord, to leave us in this terrible dark age without giving us the power that we need. Oh, God, to be able to live, not survive, but to live an overcoming life. In so much that we are more than conquerors, Lord. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. We know, Lord, if there's any shortcoming, it lays in us, never in you. Help us, I pray tonight, Father. May you minister to your beloved bride, I pray. Grant it, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands now? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, and your soul, friends, you was that little tadpole, but you've been transformed. In your soul, you was that little worm, and you was eating, but you went into that cocoon, and you come out on the other side, born again. You understand what happens to that butterfly? It has a new birth. It comes out of that cocoon, a new creature. And that's what we're waiting for, our bodies to match the change in our soul. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord.
Sing something, Harry. Let's worship Him together. Let's sing together, shall we? We just worship our King now. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Bring into the presence of the great King a sacrifice of praise. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love Him now, children. Take Him into your arms as it was. Oh, hallelujah. Pull Him next to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That is what I want.
I long to do, Lord.
To do.
I do, Lord. Hallelujah.
I give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
For you are
my righteousness. I worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
There is none.
Oh, none, Lord.
Like
Hallelujah.
You.
Again, Harry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worship Him now.
I worship you.
I worship you, Lord.
Oh, my.
Not me in the church. Not me and Carol. I worship you, Lord God.
There is
you save me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost.
Like
you reveal your word to me, so I worship you. I adore you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're my friend.
Of peace.
Hallelujah.
That is what I was born
yes,
to do.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
I give you
my
praise.
Oh my God.
For you are my righteousness.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
There is none like
you, Lord
Jesus.
There's no one greater than Jesus. Can we just sing and worship just a little bit before we go? Hallelujah. Let's sing together now.
I was so bound up.
My
life was so tied up. No peace within.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Chains could not hold me. Shackled with sin. Who is that coming from the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me.
Sing victory song. Oh, sing it, children.
By my neighbors detested, no peace with him. I was the talk of conversation, my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. Then at noonday, when the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bound. But there was Messiah sitting on.
Jesus. Oh, no matter how dark your valley or how big your trial, how deep your valley, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, my. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Surround me, oh Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Surround me,
my God. Your presence.
this place.
Don't you appreciate the word you heard tonight? I'm going to get my face in that book. Let's just sing this together, and we'll come back in the morning just expecting more of what the Lord has for us. Let's just sing this as we go tonight and make this your prayer. Jesus, draw me close. Just sing this as we go.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close.
I'm thankful for that desire.